Hi everyone, Nick Petrella here. This episode is sponsored by Steve Weiss Music, percussion specialist since 1961. If you're looking for a rare piece of sheet music, a specialty gong, or anything percussion, Steve Weiss Music will have it. Please visit steveweissmusic.com or click their link in the show notes. That's steveweissmusic.com, our percussion series sponsor.
Welcome to the Arts Entrepreneurship Podcast, Making Art Work. We highlight how entrepreneurs align their artistry, passion, and vision to create and pursue opportunities to capture value in the arts. The views expressed by guests on the Arts Entrepreneurship Podcast are solely their own and do not necessarily represent the views of the podcast or its hosts. The appearance of a guest on the podcast, the venture they represent, or reference to any product or service does not imply an endorsement or recommendation by the podcast or its hosts. The content provided is for entertainment and informational purposes only and does not constitute business advice. Here are your hosts, Andy Heiss and Nick Petrella.
Hi, Arts Entrepreneurship Podcast listeners. I'm Andy Heiss.
And I'm Nick Petrella. Tony Maselli is with us today. He's a jazz vibraphonist who has performed and taught all over the world. Under the umbrella of Maselli Music LLC, he hosts the sites TonyMaselli.com and VibesWorkshop.com, a virtual meeting place and teaching tool with 4,000 student and professional members. Tony is also the co-creator of the World Vibes Congress, a formal gathering of players who share the desire to bring public awareness to the vibraphone. His extensive portfolio career includes teaching positions at the University of the Arts, Temple University, and is a lecturer at the Curtis Institute of Music. We'll have his websites in the show notes so you can learn more about Tony, the vibraphone, and more. Before we begin, I'd like to thank our friend Dan Sullivan for connecting us with Tony. Thanks for being on the podcast, Tony.
Hey, it's great to be here. I'm looking forward to it.
Let's start by having you give a thumbnail sketch of your bio from college student to where you are today.
Okay, so college student... I go to college and I fall in love with the vibraphone. I hated the timpani. I know people love the timpani, so I'm not dissing the timpani, but when I got behind the timpani, it did not bring me joy. And I just played that for my 4 years of college. I went to a classical school, so at the end when I did my recital, technically I failed because I didn't do timpani and all the other things, and my teacher went to the other teachers. My teacher was Nick D'Amico, a great, great percussionist. And he said, look, he's not going to do any of that. He just wants to do this. You see, he knows how to play this instrument. Just pass him. And I passed. And I got out of school. To be honest, if we're talking about entrepreneurship and money and all that, I got out of school and was playing down Atlantic City. And a lot of that money went up my nose. I'm just saying, a waste. Okay. When I look back now, I just think, oh my God, I can't believe what I did in my 20s. Mm-hmm. But what's great, because when you in your 20s, you have your 30s to kind of fix things, and you got to get rolling by your 40s. And if you're not together by your 50s, you're in a trailer house, you know, somewhere, yeah, doing it. So, but I got out of school and I just wanted to play vibes, and I hustled and got gigs and was doing plenty of stuff. Never was worried about anything, a career or anything, just wanted to play and found the places to play. And then I remember, if we fast forward through all that, every 10 years, things have changed for me. So it was jazz clubs, and then all of a sudden corporate parties and that kind of stuff where you can really make good money, especially back in the day. Mm-hmm. And I switched to that and jazz clubs, and then all that kind of died down. And then we had the 9/11, and for a jazz musician, for all musicians, but for a jazz musician, everything just died. Mm-hmm. And our whole way of playing, which was get paid and play, kind of went down the tubes because all the gigs shut down. And like a lot of musicians, you just want to play. So next thing I know is we were playing for the door after 9/11, because how could clubs pay us when people were not coming out? But we wanted to play. So we weren't making money. And I went to my, actually went to my dad, who was a successful businessman. I said, I want to do this. I love technology. I want to do this thing and start making website around music. And I did something called Larry's Improv Page. And then he said, how much you need? And I said, I need $30,000. He gave me $30,000 to borrow cameras back then, which are much more expensive than now.
Oh, yeah.
Learned how to use all the technology. And that's when I started Vibes Workshop. And that enabled me to play around the world because people heard me around the world. So that was my kind of change once again. And now I'm 63 and I'm kind of figuring out now what happens next. I do a lot of teaching. I teach at UArts Temple and at University of Southern Mississippi. I haven't done anything at Curtis in a few years. So, gotcha. Which is a drag because the teachers get paid well at Curtis. Now I'm just sitting here. I have a video studio, audio studio, and just trying to keep it all afloat for my, I guess, my last chapter.
Yeah. So you basically adapted.
If you play vibes, you know, I always think like there's utility instruments. If you play bass, that's a utility instrument. You're going to work. You can have no personality. You cannot hustle at all. You can sit by the phone. And if you play good, you're going to work. If you play vibes and you sit by the phone, unless you're Warren Wolf or somebody, you know, one of those guys. So I had to hustle. I had to hustle and do this. And it was hard. It was a struggle. And it's still kind of a struggle. But it was worth it because I love the instrument. I love playing it.
It's great. Yeah.
And so I saw you recently released a new album with David Friedman called Sunset Glow. Can you tell us a little bit about that project?
Yeah, that came out of Vibes Workshop, because when I started doing Vibes Workshop in the beginning, all these people started showing up. And there was I saw Mallet Man, and this guy named Mallet Man was on the site every single day. So I went in and looked, and the email was GaryBurton.com. And he was just coming to hang out, and he loved the site. So it was him. And then after him, I saw David Friedman, who used his name, which I thought was great. And I talked Gary Burton into switching his handle to his name, because I thought every time you're on, you know, 10 students are going to run to their instruments to practice. So you can be aspiring. David Friedman came on, and then I did a workshop in the Netherlands, and David came out, and we played together. And it just felt like, for me, everything I've learned in my life led to that moment when I played with David, where I kind of felt like I kind of hung with him. Like I could do it. I wasn't in his way, because two vibraphones can be awful.
Sure.
You know, three octave instruments with eight mallets can be a disaster. And I just learned some things from this guitarist. And we played, and I had a new best friend, I had a new mentor, and I had a new partner to do this thing with two vibes, which incidentally was Double Image in the beginning, and they switched from two vibes to vibes and marimba, which I thought was interesting. And then we played together for the next 13 years and would get together whenever one of us was in the other country and rehearse and play. And so we made our first CD a few years ago. It's 4,052 Miles is the name of the CD, something like that. And then we were sitting on this one, and I was waiting. We did it before COVID, and I was waiting for Malatech to put it out. And the one thing you learn when you're dealing with any business, is everything takes four times as long.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, where you sit in the pecking order. So I just said to Lee, I said, Lee, I want to put this out myself. And I just did it, because it never would have gone out. And I just said, I have an hour. I'm going to set up Bandcamp. I'm going to put this on and I'm going to start. So at least it's somewhere.
Sure.
Right.
And then I can figure out iTunes and the other stuff. And I don't expect we're going to make a lot of money off it, but I'm proud of it. And I wanted to make sure it was out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, go ahead, Indy.
No, I just say that's amazing. That whole story is amazing. And thinking about sort of the nexus of that was you putting together the website and bringing vibraphones together.
Yes. Or the catalyst for the whole thing was my dad. Because if he wouldn't have given me that money, I didn't have money. I didn't have that. And he did it. And actually, when I first started putting a music website up, it was a little more wider scope than Vi's Workshop.
Okay.
I did it myself. So I learned PHP, I learned MySQL, I learned HTML, and I would build this site. But I went on there once and I looked on the page and my page was gone and it was all porn. So somebody got on there, hacked it, and put all these dirty pictures up. I was like, okay. And I fixed it back up again. And then a few months later, there's the Turkish flag on my site. So somebody got in. And back then, you hacked somebody's site and you just did a prank.
Right.
And there was a percussionist. His name is Stephen Hambright. And he was just following my stuff. And he liked the way I play vibes. And he was a good percussionist, played in Radio City Hall for a bunch of years. And he wrote me and said, and he saw all this. And he said, hey, you're a good vibe player, but you don't know what you're doing with the programming. I do. Let me do it. Let's get it going. And then we started with a software called Drupal, and we made Vi's Workshop. Mm-hmm. So without my dad and without Steven, it wouldn't be where it is now, I don't think.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what I was going to say about the publishing, whether it's a book or recording, when you do it yourself, and this is one of the things I talk with students, you're going to be pushing it. When you give it to publisher or company, you're one of thousands, right? And if you don't push it, it's not gonna get some traction.
Especially if you're not at the, you know, you have to just think about, where am I on this person's list? You know, like Lee Stevens has this, where am I on his list? And I love Lee Stevens, but this is reality.
Sure.
And you just start going, you know what? I'm way down on his list. And I always tell students the same thing, and I say, start now, because I started late, and when I put stuff out myself, I don't have the time to hustle it. Yeah. So it's really hard to do anything with it. So I'm always torn. Do I give it to a publisher and just, you know, make $100 a year, or do I push it myself and just make $100 a year?
Right.
So, but if they start young and they build up, then they could do, you know, it's like a guy like Casey Cangelosi and guy like that. I know he's making money off his site. And he built it up and built it up and built it up. So when you're young, right, if you put $100 away when you're young a month, by the time you're my age, you can retire. I didn't. So if you start your store, you know, at 22, by the time you're 42, you can probably have a business if your stuff is good.
Yeah,
that's right.
And you think about the barrier to entry now versus when you started your website, right? It's a little simpler now.
Yes, it's a little simpler. There's many more people doing it, so you have some other kind of competition.
Right.
I think because you mentioned students, I think students forget that, yes, YouTube, Instagram, blah 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 blah. And in one sense, you have to be good at what you're doing, or have the gimmick. You know, if you're incredibly good looking and you're on there and you're playing vibes and you just, you know, well. What's his name? Justin Vibes, who is a great vibe player. And he makes his living off of playing the vibes on social media. Now, he's great, and he's also great looking, and he plays real simple songs for people. And he gets, one of his videos had, 40 million views?
Wow.
So, and he's a great guy, and we've talked about what he does, and he's really, I admire him a lot.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, we'll have to find that and link to it in the show notes.
Oh, that's somebody you should talk to.
Yeah, there you go. You mentioned a couple people. You could have Lee on.
Ask Lee. Oh, you should. Oh, my God. If Lee Gem comes on and talks about the business, first of all, 4 hours. Leave the day open. He will not stop talking.
We'll have to set up an entire entire week then, you're saying?
Yes, exactly.
No, I think he'd be great. He'd be great. So, you know, before we get to the next question, I had another one. You had mentioned this word a few times, and it's hustle. We always get questions, you know, networking and how do you find gigs? This is from students. Would you mind talking about how you hustled?
Yes. Well, you know what? Yes. So in my early days, to be really honest, I was pumped up because of drugs, and I was boom, 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 boom out there doing it. But I wasn't a particularly nice person, so it made it extra hard. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I tell my students now, don't be an a-hole. You've got to be nice. You've got to be nice to other people. And then I read the book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Mm-hmm. And that one book, when I closed the cover, changed everything for me. When that cover closed, I was not the same person I was when I started, because I realized it has to be win-win. I have to do something for you. You do something for me. You know, I get a gig, I pay you well. You get a gig, you pay me well. If I get a gig and pay you terribly, well, you might get a gig and be like, you know what? I'm going to pay him $150 like he paid me, and I'm going to keep his extra money. So I learned all this stuff in a moment, and that started to change everything. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, for me, therapy. So I needed it. I went and did it. Had a great therapist, Marilyn Luber, and we would just figure all this stuff out. And it was a whole different thing. And just from getting nicer and being a competent musician, then opportunities started to lend themselves because people wanted to be around me, and I wanted to be around people.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think, did that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. It does. It's just a question that we often get, you know, how do I go out and get gigs? I think if you're born with that proclivity, it does come naturally. But as a teacher, how do you teach people? Because what works for me might not work for you or Andy, and vice versa.
Right. But a student asked me that question, and I said, you answered the question. Because he said, how do I go out and get gigs? I said, you go out and get gigs. Said you have to go somewhere and try to get a gig. And I know it's awful. I mean, it's awful to walk in somewhere and say, can I play here? I said, but, you know, email. You know, guys will email a club and they won't get a response, and they'll write the club off. And I tell students, that's on your 3-month list. Every 3 months, you write the club back. And half those clubs are going to eventually be stuck when your email comes through, and they're going to say, can you play tomorrow night?
Yeah. Cold calling is tough for people. And, you know, but what was it, Andy? Who was it? Bobby Watson suggested something. Boy, this is a couple of years ago now. We've been doing this about 3 years. He said, offer to play a set or do something just as a sample.
I've done that. Yeah. Well, I'll come in on a Monday night, play one set for you. And if you don't like it, we leave and never come back again.
Sure. Yeah.
Yep.
So on your site, I see you have a jazz and wine tasting offering. How did you come up with that idea? Or were you thinking specifically about different revenue streams you should add?
No, I just watch things fall into place. And, oh my God. I have a thing with names. And this guy's a buddy of mine. Oh, Quail. Oh my God. Wait a minute. I got to find his name. But introduce with my two wives and my girlfriend, I would go to introduce them, and I wouldn't remember their name. And then I would get in trouble for not reducing them. I know who this person is, but in that moment, I blacked out, so I have this thing. Yeah. But Jimmy Quail, oh my God, he's what do you call them? Sommelier. Yeah. And I did a gig where he was at, and I said, Jimmy, let's put this out there and let's do it. And we did a thing at Chris's Jazz Cafe. We did a couple things, and it kind of burned out. But the other thing I learned is groups are still groups, and things are still things. So I haven't done anything with a few years. It's on my site. If somebody calls, it's going to be, we can do it. And then I call Jimmy, and we do jazz and wine. I have a group. We haven't played together in 4 years. And then somebody asked us to come play at their festival. And so, you guys still together? Yes, we're still together.
That's right.
We get back together.
Yeah. If it was later in the day, we could have done that here. BYOW.
We could have.
Next time.
Entrepreneurship and wine.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely. That's our next podcast. Yeah.
Yeah.
So here we go. Is Jimmy a musician as well, or just sommelier?
Jimmy, here's another guy for your podcast, because Jimmy's a drummer.
Okay.
And he was in a band called the Quail Brothers, the Quails, and they played at, we had a place here called the Latin Casino. They were the Osmond Brothers of our area, and they were young kids, and they were great musicians, and they had this group their whole lives. Mm. And then Jimmy went off and did the wine thing, and he still plays drums, and he's a total entrepreneur to the 100th degree.
Yeah. Mm. All right. So as Nick pointed out in the intro, you've created an entity called Maselli Music LLC. What was the impetus for creating that entity, and what role does it play in the variety of things that you're involved in?
Well, the impetus was my accountant, who said, you got to put all this behind a business. You're doing these different things. You have to do it. And my accountant, Lisa Kelly, said, let's get this going. And we created a business. And I think that's just good. That's a good thing to have if you're doing the hustling yourself. If you're a side person, then you're just doing it. But to have an LLC, what everything goes into, and with taxes and all that. So that's what that was. And then everything can just fall under that. And Lisa knows what to do. So every year I just, I do Quicken. So every week I do my receipts. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the year, I more or less push a button and get my totals and just go to her and sit there, and she does it and tells me the damage. So so it's just to put everything under that's besides me.
To kind of simplify and streamline that, and particularly the tax process.
Yes. And any of these guys out there that have any kind of success usually have some kind of, they're behind an LLC. So I think if you're going to go out and do it yourself, you're going to need it.
Sure.
Yeah. So as I mentioned earlier, you have an extensive portfolio career. How do you manage to stay on top of everything?
Well, I think it is extensive. And I also think, like when I see some of my friends and I see their bios and things, for instance, when I used to go to Germany and they worshiped this horn player that was there. And I knew the horn player. And when the horn player was back in the States, he was doing weddings, but they thought this guy was and he's great. He was great. He was great. And so I think a lot of times we have to really make ourselves look better on paper than in real life. That's the first thing. And I hustled a lot of things and done a lot of things. And my schedule's busy, and it's even at 63, it's still overwhelming. And I think the whole productivity thing, I have to keep doing. I use this app called Things, and all the projects go in there and everything. And then I move things over and make sure I spend X hours in this, X hours in that. And I learned that as long as you move this thing over and put it in the calendar, it's moving forward. Mm. And that's how you can manage multiple things. And they take a lot longer to do. But all of a sudden, this is done. If you think in terms of today and tomorrow, forget it. But if you're looking at things and then 6 months from now, that's done, that's done, that's done, that's done. And then things get done. So I think you have to be patient and keep an eye on things.
Yeah, just keep going.
That's my whole life is just, you have to keep going.
Keep moving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. If you like this podcast, please subscribe. Visit artsentrepreneurshippodcast.com to learn more about our guest and how you can help support artists, the arts, and this podcast.